Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Quick little note, my audio is a little bit hot on this one because I am at my parents' house and I have a new setup and I didn't realize the levels were that bad. So my apologies to those of you who are usual listeners. Really, this one needs to be seen on video to be believed. But for those of you on audio, still hang with me. I tried my best to get the spikiness out, and we'll do better next week. Thanks again for listening.
Shake Them Ropes, Independence Day edition. Jeff Hawkins, Rob McCarron. Rob, the pressing question for everybody. Was the Obafemi King of the Ring win and then subsequent Brock Lesnar match a bait and switch?
Jeff Hawkins, good to see you, first of all.
Hello.
Happy 4th of July to you. Happy 3rd of July to you.
Mm-hmm.
Happy 5th of July. You know what? I hope every day in July is great for you. We spent the entirety outside of our very in-depth 5-minute preview of Forbidden Door. We spent the entirety of last week's episode trying to make sense of what we thought the SummerSlam matches might be. Like, okay, if Obafemi is wrestling Brock Lesnar, let's see how they get there. Clearly, he wouldn't win King of the Ring. So how does Jey Uso get to his title match? And Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, is that a night one main event? Is that a night two main event? Could this open the show? Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes is kind of weird to put on SummerSlam. Well, fuck me, they didn't. Because, yeah, it didn't. None of it mattered. None of it mattered. Now, I get there's a lot of arguments that I've been seeing, and I've tried not to read too much. In fact, I have a new game for us to play later on, Jeff. And I think you'll like this, and we'll see how it goes for the first time ever.
Is it talk with your hands? Because I'm really enjoying this, by the way, Rob.
But how is it not? Is it a bait and switch? Not necessarily, because it's not like you promised us Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar and then didn't deliver it. It's not like you promised us Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes and then didn't deliver it. They didn't promise us anything. What the only thing you could say they promised is, yeah, the winner gets a world title match. But guess what? It's not up to us if they actually get it. It's up to the person who won the right to go. And the person who won the right to go does not fucking want it. So who am I to say, no, Oba, you have to take it? Because in that way, I'm just a bully. I'm bullying Obafemi. And you know what I wouldn't do? I would not bully Obafemi. I wouldn't do that. So if Oba doesn't want this title match against Roman Reigns or Cody Rhodes right now, so be it. But it shouldn't be a situation where, no, I don't want it on that show. I'll take it some other time. No, bro, you don't get it. You got to earn it all over again. And in that way, was King of the Ring just a big waste of time? Yeah, Obafemi. You can't even call him King of the Ring. You know what? He forfeits because he doesn't take the prize. No bait and switch. No bait and switch. But it is. I'm not going to give a shit about King of the Ring next year. Not that anyone really did this year, even. But you certainly can't give a shit about it next year. Because, oh, you're telling me the winner gets a title match at SummerSlam? Maybe. Maybe, unless they want a bigger fight. Maybe unless they want the elusive return of Goldberg next year. Maybe they want to be the one who retires Goldberg. You know what? He's already been retired. Doesn't matter. I want Goldberg. I want Brock Lesnar. I want Sting. I want Kurt Angle. We're not going to care about it next year. It's not a bait and switch. It's not a bait and switch. They didn't promise us Obafemi versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, and we're not getting Oba versus Roman Reigns at SummerSlam. So it's not a bait and switch, but it devalues the King of the Ring, and Obafemi should not just get the title match after Brock Lesnar just because. He shouldn't
audio.
Do it just because.
Note to our audio-only listeners, you must really see this Rob cutting a promo on video to truly, truly appreciate it.
You know what, Jeff Hawkins, my goal is to sell the video version of this show. And you know what? If I have to go nuts on the video version, I'm gonna go nuts.
Okay, enough of that blurry background for me.
Try to disagree. Try to disagree with everything I just stated.
I don't disagree. I think they did it in the worst way possible, though, where Oba, who hasn't been on the main roster for 5 minutes, comes in and goes, title shots come and go. Or title shots will come. Yeah. It's like, how do you know that? Go talk to Big E Langston about that. How many title shots is he going to get in his future? None.
Well, you know what? Okay, that's a valid point. And I want you, I hopefully you will give me the grace to respond to all of these valid points for myself, for the WWE fan, for Obafemi. Because you called him out. Obafemi, you're trying to bully Obafemi now. You are trying to be the bully of Obafemi. Obafemi is confident, obviously. His first big deal in WWE, he challenged Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Okay, he challenged Brock Lesnar. So clearly this guy is like, I'm the big dog now. Yeah, title matches are going to come. I don't want him to be this humble, like, oh, this is the most glorious opportunity. I can't believe my eyes. I finally won King of the Ring. I'm finally getting a title shot. You said it yourself. He's only been here for 4 months. Like, finally getting a title shot? The guy barely deserves one. He beat Jey Uso. Guess who hasn't beat Jey Uso? Nobody. Everyone's beaten Jey Uso. Okay, so if he wants to go finish, his first big thing when he came in here was pushing out Brock Lesnar. If the guy who spent his entire run on the main roster trying to push out Brock Lesnar wants to finish the job, so be it. It's not an argument that you're making Brock Lesnar more important than the title because of who is going after him. Who is going after him is Obafemi. If Jey Uso won the King of the Ring and he said, you know what? I don't want Cody or Roman. I want to wrestle Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. It's not the same thing. This is Obafemi's first priority right now. So let him go finish it. It all has to do with context of who actually is going through, who actually won. He's the King of the Ring. If he's uncrowned champion, if he wants to do all that, he's still got to earn it. You know, because if he goes out and loses to Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam and I'm Adam Pearce, I'm like, bro, you gave up your title match and you're on a losing streak. I'm not giving you a title match. You have to earn it all over again. And we haven't gotten there yet. Now, of course, he's going to go beat Brock Lesnar. He's going to be the King of the Ring. He's the number one freaking contender if he does both of those things. And that's okay.
Okay, I'll retort in this way. So by your reasoning, then, Gunther taking on Nick Aldis is just as big of a title.
No. How's that remotely the same thing? Did Nick Aldis have a title match? Did Nick Aldis have a match with him at WrestleMania and he's been trying to get over that hump?
No, I'm just...
You know, Gunther shows up to this brand, okay? He's been getting shit ever since coming to this brand. He's getting Sami Zayn pushed in his title matches. And now he wants to go after the commissioner of SmackDown, the GM of SmackDown. You know what? It's weird. But what else is he going to do? He's kind of tied because in his mind, And granted, this is backstage after SummerSlam. He's probably thinking, okay, King of the Ring is probably going after Cody Rhodes. Roman Reigns is going to have to do something. I'm not on Raw anymore, so I can't wrestle him. I don't have a valid option for SummerSlam, so why not fuck with the GM? Why not?
Duly noted. I'll let you take the reins from here.
And how dare you try to throw my own words back at me?
How dare you, Jeff
Hawkins? How dare I? How dare I? So no, I am not bent over the coals, bent out of shape, whatever the expression might be. If I'm bent out of shape at this,
okay,
this would be a whole different scenario. Okay, but I am not standing in front of the stars and stripes here to talk about Obafemi discredited the value of the King of the Ring. A tournament, by the way, that wasn't even defended in this country, was defended in Saudi Arabia, which is a Saudi Arabia event nowadays, which is fine. That's okay. But, like, why do we care about the King of the Ring stipulation of a title match now?
I need to cut you off here because you are exactly
so right.
This is the 4th of July. This is 4th of July weekend. This is our Independence Day. We have no kings here in the United States of America.
Kings. No kings. No kings. You know what? No kings, no queens. But I'm also like, this is the company that's played with the stipulation of a much grander prize in the Royal Rumble. Like, we have had title shots that have been taken at different moments. We have had the Royal Rumble played with. So I'm not going to sit here on a high holy ground and say you have devalued the credit and you have discredited the King of the Ring tournament by doing this. Obafemi wants to go finish Brock Lesnar. He didn't know Brock Lesnar was going to show up that night. And you know what? Plans change, sir. Plans change. And they pivoted in a cool way because, honestly, if you're talking about the number one contender right now for Roman Reigns' title, I can't think of too many better options than the Seth Rollins, even though he hasn't really beaten anyone outside of Braun Breaker. I mean, he's still probably one of the more prominent people to get that title match. But at the same time, I mean, we're just a couple of days away right now, right, from the Chicago SmackDown. Where are you, Punk? Like, you're running out of time to get that match here at SummerSlam. Where is ya?
I don't have a problem with Seth Rollins versus Roman. I have a problem with his guys. We're both at near the end of our term, and we're old now. And these youngins are coming up.
We're old now.
I'm like, okay, well, maybe we should see the young guys be facing you guys.
Seth Rollins just turned 40, by the way. And I get it. That's like a line of demarcation 20 years ago about who's old and who's young. But Seth Rollins still got a legit 5 years of being not necessarily a young guy, but like the road ain't ending right now.
No.
And I don't know if you know this, but I mean, the main event of SummerSlam is being done by Brock Lesnar, who I believe right now is 62 years old. And I don't want you to check me on that.
I'm not going to check you on that. But it's funny because we have Seth saying this. We have Kenny Omega at 39 going, don't know how many title shots I have left.
Well, Kenny Omega's a different situation, right? And honestly, Seth Rollins is kind of in the same boat because they do have a lot more injuries lately. Seth Rollins has to fight those back injuries, has been having to fight these knee injuries, whether they're fake or real. Kenny Omega's gone through a lot of stuff. The diverticulitis, there's a lot of stuff going on there. The whole midsection injury issues that he's had because he's had the hernias too. But Brock Lesnar did all that. And again, I remind you, Brock Lesnar at 62 years old is wrestling in the main event of SummerSlam.
Fair enough. Where would you like to go?
I would like to play a game with you, Jeff Hawkins.
Okay. Here we go.
I would like to play a game of let's respond to only the headlines. I am going to read some headlines from the WrestlingObserver.com website.
Oh, God. Oh, no, don't.
We're going to play responding. We're not going to go into context. We're not going to figure out what this headline is supposed to mean in context. We're just going to play a game. Okay, if you're worried, I will say unnamed.com website.
No. I'm not worried about that. It's just one of these pain points of the message board at the WrestlingObserver.com that they're doing nothing.
Don't be afraid.
Clickbait.
Don't
now.
Be afraid. Go.
Oh, I'm not afraid of them.
Go listen to your Weezer albums and not be afraid of these guys on posting on boards. Okay. So we're gonna do this,
okay.
Jeff.
Here we go.
We're gonna do this. No, it's
Let's
not gonna
it.
Be painful.
It's oh, not it's not. Painful. No, I know.
Don't worry. Okay. All right. So we're gonna respond to only the headlines, and we're gonna go in depth on this. Now, this relates to Raw. This is something that was happening on Raw. You know, Paul Heyman has aligned himself with Brock Lesnar again on television, and there's some weirdness going on with the Vision. This is a headline currently up on WrestlingObserver.com. WWE reportedly considering the future of the Vision faction. Jeff Hawkins, what do you have to say about this headline?
Oh, no shit. Are we not considering the future of every faction?
Do we not consider the future of every fucking thing on the TV show every fucking week? What are we going to do next week with these guys, bro? What's our end game with these guys, bro? Are we not considering the future? WWE reportedly considering the future of Oba Femi.
What?
WWE considering the future of Roman Reigns. Duh! We're considering the future of everything weekly on this show, guys. What are you talking about? Now, granted, I'm sure in the context of this story, it's like, will the faction even exist after a while? Which makes sense. I mean, gosh, they have had some bad luck. They have had some bad luck with Logan Paul. They have had some bad luck with Bronson Reed. Bron Breakker got hurt, couldn't wrestle at WrestleMania. Seth Rollins got hurt, which caused them to eliminate him from the faction in the beginning. Everyone in this faction has gotten hurt. We have Austin Theory, who's doing his thing with Maxine. Now, will that go somewhere? Is it just now canon on television that they are kind of together, kind of friends, and we're not really meant to deeply look into this? Will it actually end up being a situation where Maxine, kind of at the helm of the Chad Gable situation, does she fully go heel in some way and she aligns herself with an Austin Theory to maybe make him more interesting? The bad luck continues because Austin Theory's in the damn group in the first place.
Yes.
The Vision has had some bad luck. Where do you see the future of the Vision?
I don't see it because I think, well, maybe they do. Maybe they keep it, but they throw Austin Theory out, and then it's just Logan.
Just throw him out.
Logan, Braun, whenever Bronson can come back, and then Heyman's aligned with Brock. There's your four.
Okay.
And then in your theory of the Vision being in some sort of war games and experimenting, Austin Theory is going to join that Seth Rollins Street Profits side.
Well, honestly, now with them pushing so hard based on Raw that Seth Rollins has put the Vision behind him.
Okay.
With the fact that they're considering the future of the Vision, just looking at the TV stuff, if we even ignore the stories and the headlines, because that's an awful convenient headline to come out. Like, you could literally make a headline about the future of something working or not about almost anything on TV. I don't think we're at this point this week. Last week, I would have said, you know what? I think the War Games is even more likely.
Okay.
Unless somehow Bron Breakker ruins the Seth Rollins title match against Roman Reigns, which I don't even know if Bron kind of has to build himself back up a little bit. Like, that was a putting of Brock Lesnar down, or Bron Breakker down at Night of Champions.
Yes.
Seth Rollins defeated him and defeated him like big time. Seth Rollins now moving on to this title picture. Seth Rollins might just be a one match and he's out and he has to find something else to do. Very well. The tag team division is kind of different now. Not all the focus is on the Visions. Joe Hendry is still kind of involved. You know, I would put stock if this were a basketball game or a soccer game or any sporting event where you see that momentum meter and it's like the first half, it's really going up. The Knicks have a 90% chance to win. But then in the third quarter, it's like down again because they get tied and it's even 50-50. The momentum for a possible Survivor Series War Games match between the Vision and Seth Rollins group, I would say, is more towards the downslope on the momentum meter right now. It's not looking super likely just because of how definitive they seemed with Seth Rollins moving on. So yeah, maybe you break up the Vision. Maybe Logan Paul goes away again because he still has the arm injury. And I get he's healing faster than any human has ever healed. That's okay. But maybe you take him off TV a little bit to to maybe have him do something when he comes back that's completely away from the Vision. Maybe Bronson Reed comes back and you don't even mention about the Vision stuff. There's a very clear way they could kind of break everything off. And maybe that's part of the rebuilding of Bron Breakker, that he just breaks everything off and says, obviously, leading this group didn't help me. It's time for me to focus on myself again. Maybe something like that happens and the Vision completely does go away. But yeah, considering the future of a group, you always do that.
Okay, let's keep the momentum going and give me the next headline.
The momentum meter, the momentum, as one would say.
What's the next headline?
Roderick Strong praises Triple H and Shawn Michaels. That's it. That's the headline. Roderick Strong praises Triple H and Shawn Michaels. Jeff Hawkins, is this a shot at Tony Khan?
No, of course not. It's chumming the water, though, for trouble by the Wrestling Observer headline writers who it's like, okay, so what? Everybody, if you're working in a company for a long period of time, you're going to have positive things probably to say about your boss. I mean, I hate these types of headlines, to be honest with you. It's like, oh, does that mean he's unhappy? It's like, do you like pancakes? Or it's like, I like pancakes. Oh, do you hate waffles? No, I don't hate waffles. I just want, hey, I'm praising the people I used to work for because I'm not going to burn a bridge. I'm going to be nice in the media. And you never know. I praise bosses I hated because I never know when I may need a recommendation or something. This is such a nothing headline to me.
It is funny sometimes because there's a lot of aggregation websites out there. There's a lot of websites that will, you know, post stories based on interviews and based on things that the talent does outside of the television shows. Fightful does this a lot, and it's not a bad thing, is they will take an interview with a wrestler and probably make five or six stories out of it because they say five or six interesting things that would get clicks, but are also maybe worth noting, maybe going back in the history of something. What's weird about this headline being on here, because this is the exact story of what that is. Roderick Strong did an interview. He talked about his growth in WWE, and he praised Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But F4W Online, WrestlingObserver.com, they're the same website if you're unfamiliar, they don't usually do that. They're not the ones who are aggregating interviews outside very, very often, at least not as headlines themselves. They might be in the daily updates that Wrestling Observer posts, but they're usually not individual stories. So maybe this is a shift to what WrestlingObserver.com wants
it
to
is.
Do.
But, it is.
But it is a very interesting headline because it also, like, Roderick Strong praises Triple H and Shawn Michaels, period. Not for his development, for his WWE tenure. There's no
for his cooking skills, you know.
It's like crazy. You really, really a clickbaity headline because you have to go click and see what is he praising them for. Is he praising them there for their creative genius right now? Is he praising them for something related to AEW and versus WWE? But no,
they have such good hygiene and they smell nice all the time.
Their rings are just so bouncy. So bouncy. So yeah, it's a weird headline, but Roderick Strong praises Triple H and Shawn Michaels. We are just responding to the headline and not going deeper into the context. By now, most of you have heard Sami Zayn. And I got to tell you, Jeff Hawkins, we did a hell of a job on our preview show last week. I don't think we missed a single prediction. Not a single. I think we nailed every single one. Maybe one or two. In fact, no, I know we nailed every single one. And I'm counting the AEW show, too. Counting the AEW show. I think we got every single one correct. One of the ones that we got correct is we were like, you know what? These odds are kind of long for Sami Zayn, and they probably shouldn't be. And guess what? Sami Zayn, at Night of Champions, won the SmackDown Championship, the WWE Championship. Sami Zayn is your new champion. And that gave us this headline, Jeff Hawkins. Sami Zayn reveals John Cena's text after championship win. You did it your way. Jeff, what do you have to say about that headline?
Fed to the Wrestling Observer writer by WWE PR. 'Cause it's such a lame text anyways, but the fact that it's John Cena, so it has a certain sense of import into it. You did it your way. You're the last good guy or whatever. It plays into the gimmick. It's completely a corporate fed headline. That's what it is.
I can tell you right fucking now that it wasn't Sami Zayn's way to be like, I hope I never win the title until 2026 as he's coming into WWE. He didn't do it his way. He literally had to do it Vince McMahon and Triple H's way.
Yes.
For the last 12 years of his career, he had to do it their way. John Cena, you are wrong based on this headline. You did not accurately describe what Sami Zayn did. He did not do it his way at all. And that is my response to that headline, sir. I'm looking next. Here. There was a headline up, and I honestly don't even know if it's up anymore because I really wanted to respond to it. It was literally the headline that made me think, oh, we should respond and play this little game. And now I'm not even seeing it on the main
page. Do you remember what it is?
Oh, what was it about?
Was it about John Cena's hair plugs?
No, it wasn't about John Cena's hair plugs. Although on the Sami Zayn text message front, it has been pretty cool to see things like Kevin Owens, and you know, it's kind of cool to see John Cena responding, and Randy Orton, and a lot of these Cody Rhodes, a lot of these guys who have worked with Sami Zayn for a long, long time are like, yeah, that was a pretty fucking cool moment. You beat Cody Rhodes, and not many people in the company over the last 3 years get to beat Cody Rhodes. You won the title. You were a hero in Saudi Arabia, which is one of the main factors why we thought that win could come there, because he always gets a great reaction in Saudi Arabia. He's not an American. So, like, they do kind of see Sami Zayn as an even bigger superstar in that area because of his nationality, his history. And the fact that, yeah, he was a little bit of an underdog. And, you know, the underdog story does get over huge in Saudi Arabia. We still have the Royal Rumble where Mansoor won, which is still a pretty cool moment, despite the fact that Mansoor is not in the company anymore and they didn't capitalize on it. But there's some cool moments that do happen in Saudi Arabia. So, yeah. Oh, this was the one. This is the headline I think that I wanted us to respond to. Reason why WWE Night of Champions 2026 had expanded PLE card. Obviously, this headline gives us no information. It is literally telling you to click for the reason why. It's not report. ESPN reportedly, or ESPN wanted more matches on the show. It doesn't tell you. You have to click. Reason why WWE Night of Champions 2026 had expanded card. Now, this one we kind of have to go in the context for, because otherwise we'd have fuck all to say about it. Because you can't defer anything in here. But we even noted it last week on the preview show. This card is going to have, I think it was 6 matches, up from the usual 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Did it even end up having 7? I can't remember if it had 7 matches on it. But there were 2 matches for free. That was your King of the Ring, Queen of the Ring finals. And then the remainder of the card took place on the ESPN app for ESPN Unlimited. Jeff Hawkins, they're trying to say in this report that ESPN wanted more matches for people to pay for, which seemingly was a struggle with the reason why, if you're giving away the main events for free on ESPN, are you actually disincentivizing people to sign up for ESPN Unlimited because the real main events have already happened? Can I just get the results online or maybe see the rest in the future on a SmackDown or a Raw because I know who won the main events? What do you have to say about ESPN reportedly wanting more matches on the actual PLE card? And is this something that we might see even more so in the future?
Well, they need it because ESPN Plus doesn't bring in a lot of things other than baseball for the most part, from what I've seen.
It's one free baseball game if you're not a subscriber to MLB TV. Lately, it has been some of the extra footage around tennis tournaments and golf. So like for Wimbledon, for example, there were some matches that were paywalled to ESPN Unlimited versus in the past they had been on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3. So you do have to have Unlimited now for more things. But really, when it comes to a main event type level, when it comes to a really big event, WrestleMania still is kind of the only thing available on ESPN Unlimited. It's prelim tennis, it's prelim golf, and it's ESPN Unlimited's presentation of WWE. So yes, they probably need more, and it seems like they're coming after WWE for a little bit of that more.
Right, and but they're also saying mixed messages. They're probably saying, hey, we want stars on the stuff we're putting on ESPN, but yeah, you guys need more matches, and what WWE needs to do is put more stars on ESPN Plus to drive subscriptions. I think you're exactly mm-hmm. right. Okay, great. Yeah, we're gonna put the two biggest draws onto the free TV, and then we're gonna right. tell you, make sure you subscribe so you can see Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton muck it up.
it is weird, right? Because you look at AEW Zero Hour, like if AEW was putting Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay from All In on the Zero Hour, and then be like, okay, if you want to see the other matches we have, sign up, watch this pay-per-view, but here's your main event on the free show. It's back in the day, Sunday Night Heat. If Steve Austin versus The Rock took place on Sunday Night Heat, and they were like, okay, now for the rest of the show, go and buy. That's the strategy here, kind of, is give two of the main events. And now it's not always this way. It hasn't been this way. They've given a big match, and then they've given kind of like a mid-level card match.
Right.
But when your event is effectively King of the Ring, you gave the King of the Ring final in the first hour for free on ESPN. And it looks as if, based on this story, if you do click into the context, which I never would because that's not the game, the context is this is probably going to stick around until after SummerSlam, potentially all the way to Survivor Series. Now, most likely it's going to stick around until college football takes place, because I can't imagine they're going to do, you know, college football preemptions for the first hour of a pay-per-view, but maybe we might see it when football starts. So at least it's going through SummerSlam. We're going to see some of the matches, potentially even Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar on ESPN. And it's just a very interesting strategy because it's reverse of what they've always done with the first hour of shows in the wrestling space. The first hour has always been, let's hype up these matches you could see, but you have to pay for. Mm-hmm. But give them a little taste. Give them a taste of like, you know what, I do want to see those matches, and that match was pretty cool, so maybe I will take a look at what else is happening on the show. It's not happening now.
What they need is a main event angle on one of these shows to drive people to then buy the pay-per-view for the match that'll happen later.
Yeah, what's your main event angle we talked about last week?
I don't know, but I'm just saying in general. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, maybe we tease that Brock Lesnar is coming on the pay-per-view later or something to that effect. You know?
Well, WWE's main event angle right now is clearly Brock and Oba, and we did kind of question last week if that was truly the big thing in WWE right now, and yeah, for sure it is, because it's the real main event of SummerSlam at this mm-hmm. point. With the potential of also Sami Zayn wrestling, with all the possibility of Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Right now, there are three official matches for SummerSlam, two of them based on, well, I can't even say that, one of them based on Queen of the Ring, because the King of the Ring match didn't end up happening. We have Liv Morgan versus Io Sky for the Women's World title. We have Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar in a Hell in a Cell. And we have Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. So we do have three matches official, but it's likely that we might see one of these three big main events for free on ESPN.
Yes, definitely. And I think it might be Liv and Io, to be honest with you.
Well, if we see Liv and Io, I think we might also see Oba and Brock.
Yeah, because no, that's true. We might. Do you think they do a Hell in a Cell on ESPN?
Yeah. Well, we're in the bloodless era. You know, Netflix is, you know, already eliminating blood from their replays of WWE pay-per-views. Do you really want blood on main ESPN TV? Probably not.
Meanwhile, Dynamite, first 5 minutes, MJF just ripping off a bandage off of Mark Briscoe and the Gusher.
You want to talk about bait and switching. Now, this is not a bait and switch either. But like, okay, MJF is the champion. Will Ospreay just won a title shot for All In. Clearly, we're getting MJF and Will Ospreay. And I would say 90% of the viewers of Dynamite probably don't think that match is going to happen, that it's probably going to be Kenny Omega. And then we get this bit of news that this Wednesday on Dynamite will be Kenny Omega versus MJF for the AEW championship. And if Kenny Omega loses, He can no longer ever, this stipulation is back, he can no longer ever go for the AEW championship. Jeff, is this a sign that we are clearly getting a new champion and we are just colliding towards Omega and Ospreay?
Yes.
This is not yes or no with Jeff Hawkins.
Okay.
This is yes and. We are doing okay. Improv. Jeff, you did improv back in the day, right?
Yes, I had taught it and everything.
Yes, and?
We are getting a screwy finish probably in this in this first match, possibly a time limit draw of some kind. I don't think we do the title switch here.
Interesting. Well, I mean, the stipulation of if he doesn't win the title, he can never go for it. I'm almost, and I get it, there's a pay-per-view still between now and All In. We did go over that last week, too. There is a pay-per-view
in between. It's if he doesn't win the match.
Oh, if he doesn't win the match. Okay, so he could win the match potentially, but not get the title.
Correct.
You're thinking we have some type of count-out.
Count-out, disqualification, Hangman Adam Page comes back.
Okay. And then, great. Add another kink in this already fucked up, weird main event angle where Adam Page is involved, Jon Moxley is involved. Like, what the hell is going on with Jon Moxley and Will Ospreay? Will Ospreay came out in a Bane mask because they thought that would be cool, and it was still kind of hokey. I don't know about any of this. At least we got the Mark Briscoe thing out of the way. Andrade did turn on the Don Callis family. Good for him. Andrade might be another name kind of in this mix, in the main event mix for AEW.
Did you see any of Forbidden Door or no?
I haven't watched any of these shows I've talked about.
Okay, never mind. But it would appear that, I don't know, Will Ospreay might be going heelish and joining, actually. It might be Moxley the odd man out for the Death Riders. I don't know for a fact.
Has it been a year we've been talking about how Moxley might be the odd man out of the Death Riders, and it just
not until the end of the Continental Classic at the end of the year? So we have to go to all the way to the end of the year to get this dumbass story.
I do recall the Continental Classic was a big bane in my existence. No pun intended. When it came to Jon Moxley, could have been pun intended, but I'm not that smart or clever. Jon Moxley, that's right, because the whole angle was, is Pac, I don't know why I keep calling him Pac, is Pac going to interfere and intervene in Jon Moxley's plans? But no, he didn't. Jon Moxley won. And here we are. Jon Moxley's still been the leader of a group that keeps expanding for no real reason because the expanded members haven't really done shit.
Will got a patch.
Now they're a biker gang.
Yes, the Sons of Anarchy now.
Jesus. I don't know about this, man, but AEW has a lot going. I mean, there's one thing you can't say about AEW, that there's nothing going on.
True.
There is a lot going on. Whether or not that makes it for a fun viewing experience can be debated. So, yes, we have some main events for future AEW pay-per-views. We have the main events for SummerSlam, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Obafemi, Brock Lesnar, Liv Morgan, Io Sky. We still don't quite know what's going to happen with Rhea Ripley. We don't really know what's going to happen with what Jade Cargill's going to do in the future because we haven't had a SmackDown show yet. We've had a SmackDown taping. You know, this week's SmackDown was taped. So we have Raw and SmackDown. We're going to have a future event where everyone thinks CM Punk is going to come back in Chicago. What is he going to do? Because Cody Rhodes seemingly is tied up still in the title picture with Sami Zayn. So what is CM Punk going to come back and do? If you had to put your money on it right now, kind of having the SmackDown taping results, we still have 4 weeks until SummerSlam. What do you expect CM Punk to be doing at SummerSlam?
Fighting Cody.
Okay. So you think Cody Rhodes, what is winning?
I don't know if it's for a title or not, but I have the feeling it's going to be like a number one contender match maybe for something.
Interesting.
But see, he challenged him when Cody had the title and said, I'll be coming for that. So
he's coming for the title. He's not coming for Cody. He's coming for the title. But if beating Cody Rhodes is the way he gets towards the title, I can see that.
But yeah, it's weird because I thought for a moment that maybe Brock would go to SmackDown and destroy Sami Zayn and take that title. Then Oba and Brock would be for that title. But
we did put we went a little too heavy on the fantasy booking on that one, sir.
No, yeah, that's true. God, could they possibly be doing Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso for the title at SummerSlam? That would be ridiculous.
I mean, it would be a quick, easy match to give away on ESPN if you would. Because again, this is two nights. SummerSlam is two nights. You're going to have 2 hours free on ESPN, most likely. It could be just the one on Saturday or Sunday, but I'm guessing there's going to be 2 hours of free. So you're going to give away 3 to 4 matches at least from these shows. And yeah, Sami Zayn versus Jey Uso could be a nice little quick title win for a Sami Zayn. And then you move on Jey Uso to whatever else is going on with the bloodline. But if I'm Cody Rhodes, or if I'm CM Punk, rather, yeah, my purpose on SmackDown was challenging Cody and telling Cody that I'm coming after that title potentially, kind of because you have it, and you know I haven't beat you yet. Now that Sami Zayn is the champion, and on Raw his brand Seth Rollins is in the title mix, we have not resolved fully Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. Like, is it potentially possible that CM Punk just does not wrestle at SummerSlam because his story is kind of with Seth Rollins?
Yes. I mean, he's appearing on Raw, and everyone was expecting him to move to Fridays, and even he's saying he's going to be moving to Fridays in certain interviews. It feels like it's like, well, there's nothing for me to do here unless he interjects into a three-way into Roman and Seth, and it's just an old man three-way, and I don't think that's going to happen because they're building this as a one-on-one last time ever for the Shield. So although Punk is involved in the Shield story in some ways,
I think I bought a movie at a hotel once that was called Old Man Three-Way.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.